Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCooper, and tonight's conversation is with Robert Mount, Deputy Secretary of the Department of Commerce. Well, let's talk a little bit about the future. Can you give us an update on the Bureau of Census and how it's doing with the year 2000 census?
Well, it's I know we don't have very much time, and that's a very large undertaking, but I'll try to see if I can give you a statement about the census that's kind of like giving you a history of the world in 3 minutes or less. This is a pretty immense project. We have lots more people in the United States than we've ever had before. We're going to hire up to 800,000 people to do this. We're putting together the address list. There are some 120 million households in the United States, and we got to get those addresses accurate. We got to get it right. We are printing some 426 million different forms. Not different forms, but 426 million forms for the census, mailing them out, asking people to mail it back. We're trying to publish a questionnaire assistance guide in a number of languages, trying to promote very vigorously the census. And we're going to have an advertising campaign, a paid advertising campaign, for the first time in the history of the census to hope that we can get people to understand the criticality of the census. The decennial census. We do it every 10 years, and funding decisions for the next 10 years are based on this data. It's used for political empowerment purposes, redistricting, and its apportionment. The census is absolutely critical, and we're trying to do all of that, and that's a big undertaking to hire 840,000 people. Acquire over 5 million square feet of space, some 520 census offices all over the United States. It's a very large undertaking. It's our largest peacetime mobilization. Fortunately, we are on schedule. We are doing very well. We've gotten a very good report recently from a government watchdog agency of the Congress, and we're pretty pleased about how that's working out.
Well, how about the future of government? Let's take a few minutes and look ahead. If you return to government again in a decade, near 2009, what do you think government will look like then?
Well, you know, I want to sort of say one other thing about the census. I don't want to paint so rosy a picture to suggest that we're not going to have problems. We obviously will. We obviously do. There are concerns about the way we're proposing to conduct a census in the use of modern statistical methods, but they have been found to be some of the best methods available today. But the census has a lot of challenges, and we're going to be working to resolve them. And with that caveat, I'll move to your question.
10 years from now, when you got to do it again, how do you think it'll look?
Well, I don't think I'll have to do it again. you know, when sort of you ask me a question like that, I mean, that you really have to sort of take the long view. We will always have a need for government. There's no question about that. But you hope that we're a lot more flexible, a lot more empathetic and understanding about what people need, the services they need, and the kind of help they may need to acquire them. So I think the things that ought to change in government and things we ought to be doing differently have to do with the government being a lot more responsive and flexible in the way it conducts its business and the way it interacts with members of the public. I think also that as a manager, one of the most critical jobs that we will face in government is as technology begins to improve and the ability of people to get their jobs done from the privacy of their homes and to increase their productivity without ever leaving their homes, I think it causes us to rethink the rigidity of the government and some of its processes. I think we also have to improve our incentives to attract and hire people and develop talent and among motivated people. We ought to take better advantage of what technology offers us by allowing more telecommuting and people going to remote locations and not coming, you know, straight to the office sometimes to get their work done. I think there's a new concept called hoteling where you temporarily use office space to meet a very short-term need. I think we ought to recognize the because we value it, the evolution of family dynamics and alternative family structures. New mothers, for example, who are at home with their child after birth, can continue to work, but do it from their home through the use of technology. I think we've got to just become a lot more flexible and innovative about how we approach government employment and government provision of services to people.
How about the management of those services? What do you think remains to be done in terms of improving the management of government?
Well, clearly we need to keep our eye on the ball with respect to human resource development. There is no more valuable entity than your human resource assets, period. If we don't do a better job of that, we won't do a better job of delivering the taxpayers' value. That's first. Second, we always have to keep learning how to be more efficient, how we save the taxpayers' money and at the same time continue to provide maximum services. And that has to do with both how cheap we acquire goods. So what kind of business deals do we strike with the private sector that make certain that we get as good of a value on a service or a product we buy as any buyer in the market? That continues to be critical. I also believe there's got to be, I think, a lot more harmony between the branches, certainly the legislative and executive branch, to sort of move the country forward in a way that is productive, and we have a shared vision about that. This idea of and I guess I ought to be reasonably careful here, but these constant confrontations about the budget and what that means and the different directions of the branches, I think is a little disconcerting to people. Obviously, I share the president's views about the direction you want to take the country, but we're going to have to reconcile some of our major differences and understand that it's important for us to move the ball forward. The public expects us, no matter what our differences, to keep moving the ball forward. And I think that we can all do a little better job of that.
Here's my final question, Mr. Mallett. Would you comment on the future of public service in our nation? Do you think that government will be able to attract outstanding individuals to serve in both career and political positions in the years ahead?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think we'll have to do some different things. I think we can't keep trying to fit a round peg in a square hole, or a square peg in a round hole, however you want to put it. Yes, I do believe that we will continue to produce excellent people who will be interested in government employment. It'll be harder to attract them for lots of different reasons, some of them to do with compensation, most of them not, actually. But I do think that we have continue to have that ability, because when all is said and done, public service is truly, and I now understand that better than I've ever understood it before, it is the highest calling, and you get the richest reward for what you do.
You indicated that it wasn't all monetary. What else did you think that it was a function of?
Well, people don't like to be hassled in their work. They also like to believe that their work is important. They have a clear mission. They want to make certain that they are properly evaluated, that they are well-trained to do the job, that they have an ability to move from one job to another if their talent so allows it. People don't like rigidity. They don't like monotony. They want to be challenged. So I think we have to begin to think about ways to make certain that we keep doing that.
Okay. And one last question. If you were a government employee now, what would you be doing to prepare for the future?
Obviously, I think that technology and technical literacy are of tremendous import today, and having skills in those areas will serve you well in the future. That is not to say that language skills are unimportant, because they are of paramount importance, both facility in your native tongue, but also if you could acquire a second language. I think those things are, sometimes we underestimate that in the United States. We're so insulated, but we're a changing country. Our demographics are changing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mallett, for spending time with us tonight. I very much enjoyed our conversation. This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the endowment's programs and research into approaches to improve government effectiveness, please visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.